Hello, Jason Konigsberg here at PanAndSlam.com, and today we're going to be doing an Oscars Rewind, a flashback to a Titanic Academy Awards celebration of the movies from 20 years ago, and we'll be looking at Titanic pretty much dominated the Oscars that year. 20 years ago, an iceberg and a doomed ship were about all the Academy Awards cared about. And now looking back 20 years later, you might look and you might say, what was the big deal? The ship sank. We all knew it was going to sink. We all know. But Titanic was a huge deal. It dominated. James Cameron's mega blockbuster set all sorts of records at the box office, some that still remain two decades later. It dominated the 70th Academy Awards, winning 11 out of its 14 nominations, tying the record for most wins and nominations of any film. Was it really that great of a film? Well, possibly. We're going to look at that today and try to decide. But it did follow the Oscar formula and earned comparisons to the 1939 Civil War romantic epic Gone with the Wind during its record-breaking run at the box office. For better or worse, there will never be another Titanic. That type of a hit when it dominated, I think it was like 12 weeks at the box office, number one, over and over, starting back in mid-late December, going all the way up until the end of March, I believe. The film that dethroned it from the number one spot was a sci-fi movie that's really not that good back then, or by today's standards, Lost in Space, adaptation of the old TV show. But so many movies came out during all those months of early 1998, and they all, you know, came up short to Titanic. So it dominated the Oscars that year, and despite being shut out of the screenplay category and going home empty-handed in the acting categories, both of which are very rare for a Best Picture winner, it was the big, you know, the big movie of that night. With the 90th Academy Awards upon us, let's take a look back at the Oscars from 20 years ago and see how the winners hold up and if the Academy made the right decision. This was a very special Academy Awards, not just for the motion pictures nominated, but it was one of the best outings for Billy Crystal as the host of the ceremony. After taking a few years off with Whoopi Goldberg filling in and David Letterman with his now infamous hosting duties, the whole Uma and Oprah thing, I actually thought Letterman was pretty good, but most people did not, and the Academy really embraced and was very happy. This was his second year in a row hosting after taking a few years off, Billy Crystal, and I think it was one of his best jobs as the MC for Hollywood's biggest night. He had the song, he had the whole montage with him at the beginning and all the five Best Picture nominees. He really did a good job. So let's take a look at Best Picture, and the nominees were As Good as It Gets, The Full Monty, Good Will Hunting, L.A. Confidential, and Titanic. Did the Academy get it right? Not really. Compared to Good Will Hunting, L.A. Confidential, which are two of the best films of the 1990s, however, anyone who was alive and remembers the cultural phenomenon that was Titanic, if anything else had won, it would have been arguably the biggest upset, one of the biggest upsets in Oscar history. A riot may have broken out, it's Sean Connery, you can watch the clip. He opened up the envelope and he said, "And the best picture goes to Titanic." And if he named any of the other four films nominated, I don't know what would have happened, but it would have been a surprise ending on par with last year's Best Picture flub of Moonlight over La La Land. 20 years later, Titanic is safe as a solid Best Picture winner and is still referenced today since its two leading stars, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, have both had extremely successful careers over the past two decades. Back then, they were still up and coming, kind of unknown. They sort of, you know, that pushed them into being extremely well known. I mean, Leo mania was everywhere around the time of Titanic dominating the box office. And they've both won acting Oscars of their own, which many believe to be long overdue. DiCaprio finally won recently, 2 years ago, for The Revenant. Kate Winslet won about 10 years ago for The Reader, but many people thought they should have won for previous films, not necessarily Titanic. So it's tough to say the Academy got it wrong, but what should have won, in my opinion, personally, I think Good Will Hunting was the best movie of 1997 for being such an emotional powerhouse of a picture. But then on the other hand, L.A. Confidential was probably the most expertly crafted film, with its taut script, outstanding ensemble cast delivering electrifying performances and riveting direction from the late Curtis Hanson, making L.A. Confidential one of the best movie mysteries of all time. I mean, at the time it was made, Kevin Spacey, Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe, these three guys were not as well known at the time and have since, you know, especially Crowe and Spacey, had very, very successful, huge, huge Hollywood acting careers. Obviously, Spacey is a little bit of a disgraced star right now, but there's no denying that he did some terrific work and had one of his best performances in L.A. Confidential. Full Monty and As Good As It Gets were also nominated. I would say Titanic was the third best of the five nominated films, but Full Monty and As Good As It Gets are both fine films. I would have much preferred to have seen Paul Thomas Anderson's breakout film, Boogie Nights, earn its way into the Best Picture category, along with Spielberg's Amistad, which has sort of become lost in the list of great films Spielberg has directed. A lot of people don't really look at Amistad as being one of his best. And I guess it isn't when your other films are E.T., Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Schindler's List. You know, Amistad isn't as good as those, but it was a solid film. Great film about the slavery and the people coming over on a slave ship. Anthony Hopkins had a terrific performance as John Quincy Adams speaking out against slavery. And I thought Jaimin Hansu in his big breakout role was superb, and I would not have minded seeing him nominated for Best Actor. So, Best Picture, I would have given it to Good Will Hunting or L.A. Confidential right behind it, but Titanic still holds up. All right, Best Directing, the nominees were The Full Monty, Peter Cattaneo, Gus Van Sant for Good Will Hunting, Curtis Hanson for L.A. Confidential, Adam McGoyan for The Suite Hereafter, which was one of the, back then, they used to have the Best Picture and Best Director nominees didn't always match up, and he was nominated for Best Director in his film, not nominated for Best Picture, and James Cameron for Titanic. Did the Academy get it right? James Cameron, of course, won for Titanic. Not in my opinion. Yes, Titanic was a huge undertaking, costing over $200 million, and making it back, and then some. It was, at the time, the highest budget of any motion picture, and James Cameron delivered and shows that he knows what to do with an immense budget and still earn a profit. He proved this again 12 years later with his next film, Avatar, which was also a big Oscar favorite and earned back its budget of over $400+ million on its way to breaking box office records James Cameron set himself with Titanic. There was a number of years where the two highest grossing films of all time, not adjusted for inflation, were Avatar and Titanic, both directed by James Cameron. That is an unbelievable feat. Since winning the Oscar and declaring himself the king of the world, Cameron sort of walked away from Hollywood for a while, as previously mentioned in my Landmark Films Nobody Talks About article. Titanic was his follow-up to the massively successful summer blockbuster True Lies. Nobody could have predicted this was the path that his career would take after winning the Best Director Oscar for Titanic. It was just odd. It was, you know, very strange that he kind of walked away, and he's only directed one feature film in the 20 years since Titanic, which of course was Avatar. He spent a lot of time advancing special effects and inventing new CGI technology for motion pictures, exploring the deep sea floor, creating foundations for restoring history, archaeological expeditions, dealing with everything from the actual Titanic itself to the lost tomb of Jesus Christ, to directing documentary about life thousands of miles beneath the sea. He obviously felt that he reached his peak as a filmmaker after Titanic and after his big Oscar night and big win, and wanted to focus on other endeavors, and that's fine, but this would be like if Steven Spielberg chose to walk away from directing movies after winning big for Schindler's List back in 1993 to become a historian and work with World War II and Holocaust survivors. We can't fault James Cameron for what he's done, but we may be deprived of some epic blockbusters that might be better than the onslaught of superhero movies that we are seeing in cinema today. So I miss James Cameron, and I do wish he made more films. He's been taking ever since the first Avatar, which was almost a decade ago now, hard to believe. He's been working on the Avatar sequels, and those should be coming soon in the near future, but who knows. So James Cameron won. What should have won? I would have loved to have seen Gus Van Sant take home the statue for his work on Good Will Hunting. And I would not have argued if the late, great Curtis Hanson had won for L.A. Confidential. The film we now know was his best achievement as a director. Van Sant, Hanson, and Adam Egoyan got minor boosts to their career after directing these films and being nominated for them. They went on to direct some bigger budgeted films with bigger name actors cast, but they did not have many huge hits at the box office, so eventually the clout they earned from their Oscar nominations would fade. Van Sant, being the only one of these five to earn another Best Director nomination for Milk, which was in 2008 and won Sean Penn his second Best Actor Academy Award. I think Curtis Hanson's biggest hit after this would come in 2002 in the, of all things, the Eminem film, 8 Mile. So he had hits. He had Wonder Boys with a huge cast, very talented people, In Her Shoes, great movie with Cameron Diaz and Toni Collette, Gus Van Sant. But overall, it didn't really boost their careers too much. Let's move on to Best Actor in a Leading Role. And the nominees were Matt Damon for Good Will Hunting, Robert Duvall for The Apostle, Peter Fonda for Yuli's Gold, Dustin Hoffman for Wag the Dog, and Jack Nicholson for As Good as It Gets. And Jack Nicholson would win his third Academy Award. It was his 10th nomination. I think he now has a record of 12 nominations since. Did the Academy get it right? No way. Even Jack Nicholson himself said that this was one of the easier roles for him. When asked why he accepted the part in As Good as It Gets, he said that after he read the script, he thought he would win the Oscar for it. And he did. It followed that formula to a T, and he was absolutely right. It also reunited with him with his friend, writer-director James L. Brooks, who directed Jack to his Best Supporting Actor Oscar in Terms of Endearment back in 1983. Jim Brooks also directed him again in Broadcast News in 1987, and How Do You Know in 2010, which was the only one of their films that was a bomb at the box office. And How Do You Know was his final on-screen appearance to date until the announced American remake of Tony Erdmann, if that, you know, comes to fruition and finally happens, which I hope it does. Nicholson's 80 now, and we haven't seen him on screen in almost a decade, so it would be nice to have him back. His career could have gotten a boost from his win for As Good as It Gets, but it did not need one. Nicholson was already one of the biggest and most iconic stars of all time. He took a few years off before returning to acting in the outstanding but very depressing drama The Pledge in 2001, directed by Sean Penn. The only actor that really saw an improvement in his career, that actually kind of needed an improvement in his career, at that point was Matt Damon for his breakthrough role in Good Will Hunting as the genius janitor. Everyone else was already secure in their spots as Hollywood elite, Hollywood royalty. I mean, Matt Damon has, in the past 20 years, since his first nomination, created a very successful career for himself in motion pictures. Everyone else was kind of like his father's age, and they already had established careers. They were established leading men. They had won Oscars or awards before. So though Peter Fonda is the only one that does not have an Oscar out of the nominees that were listed there. So it worked out well for Matt Damon. So did the Academy get it right? I would say no. What should have won? I would say Matt Damon should have won. I mean, he must have felt like a little kid surrounded by a bunch of old men on Oscar night. He was young enough to be the son or grandson of the four other nominees he was up against. This would have been the equivalent of Tiger Woods, who broke out around the same time, like 96, 97, going up against Jack Nicklaus, Ulmer Palmer, and Lee Trevino at the Masters. But regardless of age, Matt Damon should have won the Oscar for Good Will Hunting, and it remains his best performance to date, one of his best films, period. And he would walk away with a bald gold man on Oscar night, as you'll hear later on as we go through some other categories here. So moving on, I think Matt Damon should have won Best Actor. Best Actress in a Leading Role. The nominees were Helena Bonham Carter for Wings of the Dove, Julie Christie for Afterglow, Judi Dench for Mrs. Brown, Helen Hunt for As Good as It Gets, and Kate Winslet for Titanic. The winner would be Helen Hunt for As Good as It Gets. Did the Academy get it right? I would say no. Not here either. Helen Hunt was well known on the small screen for Mad About You and had won Emmys and Golden Globes for her work there. Somehow, in her biggest movie role to date, she won over the Academy's hearts for her performance as a waitress with an ill son who falls for a callous writer. In As Good As It Gets. And I think the Oscar hype machine was really big for As Good As It Gets around this time, which definitely had the biggest award season campaign other than Titanic, which I think the box office receipts spoke for the movie itself. And Harvey Weinstein's Miramax, his baby that year was Good Will Hunting, and that had a pretty rigorous campaign as well. But for As Good As It Gets, it paid off, with 7 nominations and winning 2 big ones for Best Actor, Jack Nicholson, and Best Actress for Helen Hunt. Her film career did not exactly take off after winning the highest achievement most actresses dream of. She did not appear in another movie until 2000, when she starred in 3 major motion pictures released in the span of 3 months. Four major motion pictures. Dr. T and the Women, Pay It Forward, What Women Want, and Castaway. So she was really busy or working all at once. I'm not sure. They all came out at the same time. The last two, What Women Want and Castaway, were fairly big hits that still did not translate to bigger or better roles for her. Pay It Forward was a big bomb that hoped to be an awards bait picture that never panned out. It had Kevin Spacey after his Oscar win for American Beauty, Haley Joel Osment after his big Oscar nomination for The Sixth Sense. So you would think those 3 stars there would have, you know, really amounted to something, but the script wasn't very good, and it was a really sappy, manipulative movie. And then the other one, Dr. T and the Women, I liked it. It was a typical indie-sized hit from Robert Altman, so it was just, her career didn't quite take off after her big Oscar win. Of the other actresses nominated, Kate Winslet, Helena Bonham Carter, and Dame Judi Dench all saw big boosts to their career, with some of their biggest roles and biggest paychecks in subsequent years right around the corner, so I think this did help their career. Only Julie Christie did not benefit much from her nomination for the little scene film Afterglow. Although, if you read my article about, you know, great actors and actresses that should come out of retirement, I wrote one about her, and I don't think she really cared that her career didn't take a big boost from it. I think if she wanted to act more, she could. Plus, she would earn another Best Actress nomination 10 years later for the terrific drama, I think it's her finest work, Away From Her, directed by Sarah Pauley. So, what should have won? We know Helen Hunt won. And what was easily the weakest of the acting categories from that night? I would say Kate Winslet is the only performance that really shined as being something special out of the 5 women nominated. It was an emotional performance, and the audience saw her character change over the course of the 3+ hours she was on screen in Titanic. Winslet's performance was not ostentatious enough. It wasn't showy enough to win, especially when Titanic was considered an achievement of special effects and not hailed for its acting, okay? Her excellent performance in that film was literally drowned out by a lot of water and loud noises and music. Judi Dench was the critical favorite that night to win for Mrs. Brown. I did not think it was anything that special, but she won the following year for her very brief role as Queen Elizabeth in Shakespeare in Love, and has earned 7 career nominations since her acclaimed turn in Mrs. Brown. So this nomination that night would be her first of 7 Academy Award nominations, and she won once, so I would say it really boosted her career, maybe more than anybody's in the Academy's eyes. But yeah, I would have given it to Kate Winslet. Let's move on to Best Supporting Actor. This is a good one. The nominees were Robert Forster for Jackie Brown, Anthony Hopkins for Amistad, Greg Kinnear, As Good As It Gets, Burt Reynolds for Boogie Nights, and Robin Williams for Good Will Hunting. And of course, Robin Williams would go on to win for Good Will Hunting. And did the Academy get it right? Yes, yes, absolutely yes. This was the best moment of the night, seeing the great Robin Williams finally earn an Academy Award on his 4th nomination, and make no mistake about it, his dramatic turn in Good Will Hunting as the mentor for the troubled youth character played by Matt Damon is the best performance of his career. I already praised his work for this immensely in my Robin Williams tribute after his untimely passing. I also embedded his Oscar win and acceptance speech where he embraced his friend, the host, Billy Crystal, and you hear the loudest applause from the crowd that night for the man receiving what would be the crowning achievement of his professional career. His nomination for Good Will Hunting would be his 4th and final nomination of his career. And his career choices after that would be questionable, with a lot of duds and a few solid comedic performances, and even fewer dramatic roles after Good Will Hunting. Only 2002, when Robin Williams had his dark trilogy of films released with Death to Smoochie, Insomnia, and One Hour Photo, which was a terrific film, one of his absolute best, and would not mind if he was nominated for that, were really the only times audiences saw a glimpse of the great actor Robin Williams was since Good Will Hunting. Burt Reynolds was his stiffest competition that night, and he was the sentimental favorite in a lot of circles to win, with a lot of prognosticators picking him to win, Burt Reynolds, on his first and thus far only Oscar nomination. And if you watch the video, you could see his sore loser clap when Mira Sorvino announces Robin Williams' name after she opens the envelope. There's a huge, huge applause. It drowns out, but if you look at him real quick, you see he doesn't look too happy about it. Everyone else nominated, there were great actors that deserve to be nominated. There is not one lemon among the five men in their performances. Although Greg Kinnear, Anthony Hopkins, and Robert Forster all have not received an Oscar nomination since, I mean, Hopkins won and was nominated several times before, they have all received some outstanding roles in the years since and have delivered some terrific work in very high-profile movies. Their nominations raised their profiles, raised their worth, and invigorated their careers, especially Greg Kinnear and Robert Forster, allowing them to continue to work with some of the best actors, directors, and producers in the business for years to come. So let's move on. The Oscars got it right with Robin Williams. Let's move on to Best Actress in a Supporting Role. The nominees were Kim Basinger, L.A. Confidential, Joan Cusack, In-N-Out, Minnie Driver, Good Will Hunting, Julianne Moore, Boogie Nights, and Gloria Stewart, Titanic. Did the Academy get it right? Now, this is a tough one to determine. Kim Basinger won, and is very tough to argue with that decision. She was outstanding as a femme fatale in a murder mystery with a performance that evoked classic actresses from the golden age of Hollywood like Barbara Stanwyck and Grace Kelly. She was the perfect actress for this role, and it would be really tough to imagine L.A. Confidential working as well as it did with another actress in that part. She was just that perfect and that good. So I'd say sure, why not give it to Kim Basinger? And I'm glad that she won, and I have no problem with her taking home the Oscar. But that does not mean I would have voted for her. Good Will Hunting moved me in a way that few films do, and I'm partial to Minnie Driver and her terrific performance in that film. Then again, I love Joan Cusack's work in the Capra-esque fable In-N-Out, which dealt with very prevalent 90s themes in the style of a classic comedy that I think everyone could love. So much so that I would have loved to have seen Kevin Kline nominated for Best Actor that year for his work in In-N-Out. Plus, Julianne Moore gave an exceptional, heartbreaking performance in Boogie Nights, which I really loved, and I think that was one of her best films, even to this date. That remains one of her finest films. So I wouldn't have any problem with Julianne Moore won Best Supporting Actress that night. And much like the Best Supporting Actor category, this was a very strong group, with some very talented women delivering some of their best work. I may have given my vote to Minnie Driver, since I felt Good Will Hunting was such a masterpiece, and L.A. Confidential worked more because of its expertly crafted and complex script and skillful direction. But I may have chosen wrong. I mean, four of the five women nominated easily could have come on stage that night and accepted the award, and I would have been just as happy to see any of them win a well-deserved Oscar. So I would say the Academy got it right, just maybe not necessarily the one I would have voted for, but Kim Basinger probably deserved it the most. The only performance that I was not enthralled with of the nominees was Gloria Stewart, who was 87 years old at the time of her nomination for Titanic, and would have been about the same age as Barbara Stanwyck, who starred in the original 1953 Titanic, which was the basis for James Cameron's screenplay. I think it was a sentimental nomination. I didn't think it was nearly as complex and interesting and powerful of a performance as the other four women nominated. So, moving on to screenplay now. We're done with the acting awards. Moving on to best screenplay, adapted screenplay based on material previously produced or published. And the nominees for Best Adapted Screenplay that year were Donnie Brasco, L.A. Confidential, The Sweet Hereafter, Wag the Dog, and Wings of the Dove. And the winner was L.A. Confidential. Did the Academy get it right? Of course they got it right. If you've been listening to me this long, you know that the only answer would be L.A. Confidential. It's one of the most accomplished virtuoso screenplays ever written. I would say it's on par with Robert Towne's beloved screenplay for Chinatown, which was another outstanding mystery that takes place in Los Angeles and even stars Jack Nicholson, who was more deserving of a Best Actor for that film, for Chinatown, than he was As Good As It Gets. The other nominated scripts are all varying degrees of good. None of them are bad by any means. But L.A. Confidential is just head and shoulders the best of the nominees here, and the Academy absolutely made the right call, and the right screenplay won that year. So, easy one to discuss right there. And best screenplay written directly for the screen, best original screenplay, the nominees were As Good As It Gets, and Boogie Nights, Deconstructing Harry, The Full Monty, and Good Will Hunting. And once again, if you've been paying attention, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck would win screenplay Oscars for their breakout hit because they co-wrote Good Will Hunting together. And I agree with that. Did the Academy get it right? We can bicker and moan about the winners of the acting trophies from that night, but I highly doubt anyone would argue or debate the merits of the screenplay for Good Will Hunting. It is tough to, you know, say anything bad about this breakout film for Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and to say they did not deserve this. It was the sentimental favorite to win that night since they were up and coming stars at the Oscars 20 years ago, surrounded by a lot of actors, writers, and filmmakers from their parents' generation. Affleck and Damon were both heavy favorites to win, and they deserved it. Since their win, they have both been A-list Hollywood elite for the last 20 years, and despite a lot of big flops, especially Affleck, they have had enough big hits to sustain very successful careers in front of and behind the camera. Affleck, as we all know, he has two Oscars now, one for producing the Best Picture winner Argo back in 2012. This screenplay was so good, and some of their films were so inept afterwards, that rumors began to circulate that Oscar-winning screenwriter William Goldman wrote the script, and they got the credit for it. There was some sort of conspiracy behind that. The truth was, a lot of people asked him about it, that they had the script unfinished, and they showed it to William Goldman and Rob Reiner, the director, who both looked it over, gave some suggestions about removing a subplot involving the FBI trying to use Matt Damon's character to work as a spy. They listened to William Goldman's suggestions and removed that subplot, and the rest of it is Oscar history. All the nominees here are terrific scripts, especially Paul Thomas Anderson's screenplay for Boogie Nights, but none deliver the emotional impact that Good Will Hunting does. Once again, I cannot argue with the Academy's choice. They got it right here. The big winners that night, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Robin Williams, all for Good Will Hunting. But the rest of the night was all Titanic, winning 9 Oscars in the technical categories, as well as Best Song for the Celine Dion My Heart Will Go On hit, which was dominating the airwaves at the time. I mean, that was a huge hit. I would have liked to have seen Good Will Hunting or LA Confidential take the top prize, as well as their directors taking home a trophy. But both of those films, LA Confidential and Good Will Hunting, as well as Titanic, those three films of the 5 nominees, they really hold up very well 2 decades later. Since they have stood the test of time over the past 20 years, we can look back and say, for the most part, 20 years ago on Oscar night, the Academy got it right. So, I'm Jason Konigsberg, panning and slamming movies for you. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.